All right, welcome everyone to a new episode of the Roscoe's Wetsuit Neuro Podcast. I am your host, Toby Passman. Roscoe's Wetsuit Neuro offers premium brain health coaching to clients globally interested in peak cognitive performance and will soon be offering targeted neuromodulation treatments, including QEEG brain mapping, EEG neurofeedback, transcranial stimulation, and more to clients in the South Florida area, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, starting in November of 2021. Go ahead and check out roscoeswetsuitneuro.com for all of the latest information. Sign up for our newsletter and book a coaching session today. On to the show. Today we have a very special guest, Rita Ferrugia. Rita is a self-care, self-love, and personal development expert. She's the founder and CEO of happybeingwell.com, which is a wellness e-commerce site. Happybeingwell.com offers the tools, products, education, and inspiration to use in our daily spiritual practice. Rita is certified in neuro-linguistic programming, hypnosis, and Reiki. So Rita, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. I love the show because I love anything that talks about brain health and how to improve our brain performance. And really, it's such a complex topic, as you know, and it's something that more people need to pay attention to.
Well said. What originally got you to pay attention to this sort of stuff?
Well, it wasn't by choice. 18 years ago in 2002, gosh, it's such a long time ago. I acquired a traumatic brain injury. I was a victim of, I was basically run over by an SUV. And so that led to a traumatic brain injury where I had to literally relearn how to, you know, regain my ability to speak again. You know, it would have basically word finding problems and memory problems, cognitive fatigue. So that was a journey, and it allowed me to like really, you know, go deep into how our brain works, especially how what happens to the brain when it's injured. And I would find ways to repair my cognitive faculties back. And so that was a huge, huge awakening journey into brain health and brain training and all that encompasses, you know, basically rebuilding your mind and rewiring your mind to have it functioning again. So, you know, recreating neural pathways again. And yeah, so it was, it made me a better person for it because of the awareness levels involved in that process, like huge awareness. You know, I had to be the observer of my own mind, not by choice. It was like, it just happened because I was a prisoner in my own mind. You know, when someone would talk to me, I would hear them, I understood what they were saying, but I couldn't fully articulate. Like I would in my mind know how to respond, but I could not, you know, I couldn't speak it out in articulate fashion. I couldn't really fully express it due to the cognitive fatigue involved that involves, you know, inputting information, processing it, and then having, you know, doing that work to do the output. So that was like, I literally like experienced being a prisoner in my own mind in that respect. So, that allowed me to really get to know really who I was, because I got to be the observer of my thoughts because I literally would hear them really for the first time in terms of a social setting, because, you know, when we're interacting with people, we don't really most people don't really think what their responses are. We're just acting on default based upon our programming that we've acquired through our experiences, what we've learned. We formulated our personalities around that, our beliefs, our values, what we know, and then it just comes out, right? So yeah, so I could talk about this for hours.
What were some of the biggest like healing modalities that you found to be really useful following the brain injury?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, there are so many. I think that it was an integrated approach for me based on, you know, my like prior values of a lifestyle that I was leading, like meaning like prior to the accident, I was already like, I would work out, right? So I was like, I'd work out regularly prior to that accident. So that was like, I had a lot of pros for me in terms of jumping into habits that I already had formed that would help me to accelerate my healing process. Because, you know, as you know, when we work out, it increases, you know, we release serotonin and dopamine levels in our brain functions. You know, we're much more sharper after a workout, right? We can process information much faster. And so that definitely helped with, you know, because I was still a university, actually, I had to pull out of university at the time. But I did re-enter, I definitely would take supplements. You know, I was supplementing prior. Again, that was a part of my lifestyle, but I was really like making sure I was taking my fish oils and vitamins and such. And I was seeing a multitude of therapists that also, you know, reinforced, you know, a healthy living lifestyle, like the chiropractor, because obviously, when you're physically hit by an SUV, I had to see a kinesiologist, a chiropractor, speech pathologist, a cognitive behavioral therapist. I had a case manager managing all the therapies, and a therapist. the chiropractor and the would obviously reinforce nutrition. And like, these are little things though. I would say they helped accelerate the major things. The major things were doing brain training. So I lost my ability, my short-term memory was wiped out. Like if I were to have a conversation with you, you know, 18 years ago, I would do a lot of word finding. I would have a lot of word finding problems. I definitely would forget that I even talked to you like 5 minutes after the conversation. Like, you know, I would be, if you emailed me like, you know, hey, great conversation, I'd be like, what? We had a conversation. So that involved me doing things that were not necessarily fun in order to regain my memory. For example, I would, you know, back in 2002, like there was the cassette player. So I had to pop in a cassette tape and listen to various sentences and, you know, listen to someone instructing me to like fully listen to the sentence and then having to like listen to the instructions and pause it and repeat back, you know, what was the first word of the sentence? Like, what was the third word of the sentence? Started off as easy, then it got more complex and more challenging as you went on. And I think that also what I was learning during this process, because obviously when you lose something that we just take for granted, and obviously at the time I was a university student, so obviously that was a huge value. It was, you know, that was a huge part of my identity. I was strong scholastically, so that was really a hard hit to my identity. So, you know, the anger that comes and then the frustration that comes when you have to do these basic, you know, training that we literally would take for granted. So I started to see how frustration was hindering my performance to regain my cognitive faculties, like, because you get frustrated, you get mad, and you kind of want to give up, right? So I would start to learn how to master my emotions in order to keep going. Because I would do things like I was looking and I would find ways to make it fun. So I started recognizing that the things that they were having me do, that like literally like that example that I just gave, I mean, there's no meaning to, I obviously understand that in a way there is meaning because I'm rebuilding my memory. However, listening to a variety of sentences that literally have no meaning, like it's just randomly meaningless sentence, you know, and memorizing words and stuff. So I just started like, thought to myself, you know what, Rita, how about we create your own sentences and have them be affirmations and then memorize, you know, what's the fifth word, what's the sixth word in each affirmation. So I started to really kind of come up with my own fun ways to rebuild my mind, like regain those cognitive faculties and make them stronger. And and I used visualization as well, like, you know, doing things like this, it's not always fun. Like it's like, oh, I'm gonna do brain training today. Yeah, you know. So I would visualize myself doing the activity and also like visualizing the end result of the activity. You know, what's this gonna lead to? What's the, you know, what will this allow me to be once I rebuild my mind? So that's some of the things I incorporated.
How long of a process do you feel like it was before you kind of started feeling, you know, back to yourself? Or maybe that's not the best way to put it, because maybe there was no old self you were getting back to. You kind of created a new version of yourself. But I guess my question is, you know, how long do you feel like it took to sort of regain your cognitive faculties following the injury?
That's a good question. Honestly, I really probably can't put an accurate timeline on it because it was such a, it's a gradual process. Once I had the injury, obviously everything is lost in terms of, you know, my speech and memory, all that stuff. I was bedridden for a number of months. And so when I re-entered school, they recommended I only do one course, you know, for per semester. And then for the first year, and then the second year do two, like a gradual, buildup. But so it was, it was really, truly, I was improving every year. I would definitely improve. Like I would say, like prior to going back to school, I was I regained social activities, and that helped accelerate rebuilding my mind, because even though I really couldn't fully participate in social conversations full out, being in that, even though it hurt to be in a social setting because it reminded me of my limitations, however, it made me aware of my limitations, and so it made me work harder to regain them, as opposed to just sitting alone in isolation and not realizing the limitations of my social skills at the time. So I don't know. I would say, if I would just look, maybe like 3 to 5 years to fully regain, you know, my cognitive faculties at 100%, I would say.
Got it.
Even know if it was 100%. Like, I think maybe it's still an ongoing process. Like, I don't know. That's a hard question to say. I don't know.
Sure.
Like, I would have to do brain scans or something. I don't know. I didn't follow through with brain scans or anything like that. So.
Sure. Well, tell me kind of the process then. So it sounds like you kind of had to go through your own journey of self-healing and discovery. What was the process of then sort of starting to work with other people and creating kind of your own practice?
So what you mean, like working with in terms of?
Well, and founding happybeingwell.com and kind of integrating, it sounds like a lot of these different like healing modalities. I think, as I mentioned, neuro-linguistic programming, hypnosis, Reiki, what kind of made you want to formulate all those together into a company?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, as we know, like, of course, I got so intimate with brain health and rebuilding my own mind. So when a few years ago, what year was it? I think it was like in 2011. No, or 20, I think I was 2011 or 2012, I got introduced to neurolinguistic programming. And I was really fascinated by it. I never heard about it before. You know, I've taken psychology courses in university. So then I took an intro to NLP and they were just talking about, you know, how we process information and really incorporating, not, it wasn't just focused on the mechanics, okay, of how our brain works. I was fully well-versed of the mechanics. Actually, NLP, it doesn't really focus on the nitty-gritty of mechanics like, you know, like we would in university, right? So it kind of incorporates, infuses more of like, combines, you know, how our values and beliefs come into effect, you know, our, basically our psychology, like the programming that we develop and how we interpret or model the world and how we can basically really reprogram ourselves by understanding how we get programmed and how we maintain that programming. So that's how I got into it. And so I ended up, you know, going through all the way to NLP trainers training, which is the highest level of, you know, being certified in neurolinguistic programming. And through that training, there was a hypnosis option, which I also took. It was integrated. And you know, I've studied Reiki, got certified in Reiki as well, because, you know, energy transference, which also was is discussed in neurolinguistic programming, you know, any it is proven that we do release neuropeptides into the air, and people we definitely can feel each other's, you know, thought waves, you know. So that's what drew me to it. I was working in corporate, you know, in a marketing agency. And, you know, in my off hours, part-time weekends, I would take on NLP clients. I would run a women's group on weekends. I would teach meditation classes at the marketing agency during lunch breaks. So that's how that happened. And then, you know, my lifestyle really helped me deal with stress and really helped me maintain a peak performance in terms of, you know, we live in a stressful society, right? There's a lot of different stresses, especially like today, for example, like the pandemic, dealing with difficult people, you know, managing our time and all of the challenges that come in our day-to-day life in society. So, you know, going diving deep and really implementing, you know, setting boundaries, recognizing that if somebody is, you know, treating you badly or, you know, in the corporate world, there's always this very competitive energy there because there's only so many promotions to go around. It's, you know, there's always this, there's like a toxic environment, you know. And so dealing with that, realizing that, you know, whoever is being negative towards you, it's not about you, it's about them, it's their stuff. And so how Happy Being Well got formulated, it's basically a combination. I've been a digital marketer for over 10 years and also living a very like, a spiritual lifestyle. Like I'm very like, I do yoga. I'm a big meditation, you know, I do a lot of guided meditations, visualizations, which helped me recover from the accident. And so that's how I basically wanted to fuse my passion, my knowledge, and into Happy Being Well. So using my marketing skills to market a brand that's all about leading a healthy lifestyle, active lifestyle through, you know, stylish, comfy yoga leggings, like athleisure wear leggings, and using crystals, how to use crystals, you know, and because crystals are really healing. And for me, it amplifies my meditation, my visualization practices, And, you know, I'm a big, I love to do bath time, you know, to try to, for days where I'm super, super busy and I just kind of want to basically hijack into a relaxed state by relaxing my nervous system. I just, you know, immediately jump into warm water with some bath salts and, you know, candles and sage. So that's my lifestyle. And so that's what Happy Being Well is. It's basically products that support personal development and spiritual practices that help you, you know, maintain a healthy lifestyle and make, and basically if you want to further progress in your career or your life in terms of pushing yourself and growing, well, as we know, like meditation and being active helps with that because our brains work better as a result.
Hi guys, it's Toby Passman, host of the Roscoe's Wetsuit Neuro Podcast. I hope you guys are enjoying the show today so far. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together. If you guys sign up, you'll receive a $20 Amazon gift card. Just click the link in the show notes and go ahead and sign up for that. All right, let's get back to the show. Did you find as like in digital marketing, like kind of were any of your colleagues interested in this sort of stuff? Like is it, because it feels like, you know, definitely a traditional sort of divide between, you know, sort of like the business world versus all this kind of wellness space. But yeah. now we're kind of seeing like a fusion, I feel like, but it seems like it might not have always been that way.
Yeah. So one day I actually would buy, cause you know, there's, especially in a marketing agency, there's a lot of stress, right? Because you're managing all these clients and it's, you know, there's tight deadlines and everybody's, you know, we're shifting gears all the time and it's very demanding because we're also competing with other marketing agencies for the campaign. So it's a very stressful environment at times. So, and to help my team, because the way my marketing agency was structured is that we would be in pods and, you know, we were responsible for certain clients. So in a way it was just kind of like a fun competitive environment with the other pods. So one day I decided to buy my team citrine crystals to help amplify our success. So I would bring them to my team members. Some thought it was really cool and like they would hold the crystal and they're like, yeah, I feel something. I feel like I'm more, this is cool. I can feel it. And then some people were laughing and like, yeah, okay. How about I like put it on my computer and like, is it going to do the work for me? Like they would make jokes about it. So it was, you know, you do get people that are skeptical and like think, yeah, whatever, the crystal, you know, type of thing. But in terms of aromatherapy, that's pretty widely accepted. Like we had, you know, aromatherapy, we had essential oils burning in the agency to help with our productivity and ease stress. So that nobody was, you know, had any problems with that. But I would run my meditation classes at lunch. And so people were iffy on that too. Like people would show up and some people just would just not want to go, like, woo-hoo, meditation. Like, you know, so yeah, there were definitely, I would say like a 50-50 divide in the agency about meditation and crystals. But people that would go, I mean, obviously people attended, just females and one male, and they got addicted to it. They really felt it helped them with their productivity levels and ease their stress after the meditation. And then sometimes, you know, our agency was the leadership team was really cool with like, people managing their own time. Like there was never, you know, if you needed a break, you know, as long as you got your work done. So sometimes people would come up to me, Rita, I need a meditation session. Can you meditate? You know, right. So that was funny. That was kind of cool. So yeah, that's been my experience, you know, in the corporate world, fusing the two worlds together.
Awesome. Well, what's it been like, you know, running Happy Being Well, as far as kind of just the getting into kind of the wellness space, like as a businesswoman?
You know, it's been interesting and fun, you know, like there's so many gamuts to it. You know, there's so many departments that you have to manage. Like there's the marketing end of it. There's the inventory end of it, right? Product managing product inventory, managing shipping, and marketing is a huge piece. Cause like, especially in today's world, there's doing offline marketing, online marketing. And it's been fun. I mean, you know, developing relationships with influencers, developing relationships with customers, developing relationships with partners and sponsors. It's been fun. I mean, it's challenging because it's like, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, areas that you're constantly having to manage and oversee and look. And, you know, whereas prior to this, I was just the marketing girl, right? So, yeah, so it's been fun. And the fact is that my NLP comes in and, you know, it helps me deal with people better, right? Communication skills, in making sure that there's clear communication, everybody's kind of clear on what results we want to achieve and the win-win scenario. And you know, when you're negotiating deals, making sure that both parties are satisfied. That's very important to me. I would never want the other party to not really feel satisfied, because then it's a recipe for like a bad relationship or something being, you know, maybe the relationship when it will end up being ended or whatever, you know, like, especially like with anybody that's, you know, working for me or whatever, it ends up, you want to make sure they're satisfied, because then they're going to be excited to, you know, work on their projects, you know, so that's where my NLP helps me in that respect, being fully cognizant of the other person's model of the world to ensure that, you know, we're just happy and we're getting stuff done and making it fun. I think making stuff fun is very, very important in my journey. And for me, it's, you know, building this business, making it fun, you know, like how I rebuilt my mind. Making it a fun process, because then you're going to do it. You're going to want to do it and not want to quit or self-sabotage yourself and get into a negative attitude. So there's a lot of reframing going on as well with myself and helping other people reframe thoughts, you know, into more positive, more productive thoughts. Yeah.
To just touch on something that you had mentioned, as far as you mentioned about NLP helping to understand kind of other people's model of the world. And I was wondering if you could just kind of elaborate a little more on that. And maybe if you could give like an example of how that may have played out, you know, in a business setting in your experience.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to think of one in a business experience. Okay, so basically trying to understand a person's model of the world is like, we all have different perspectives on things. Like we all see a situation differently. We all view a certain type of person differently based upon our programming, like our past experiences and how we interpret people in situations. It's always going to be different from person to person. You know, for example, I was running an event with a colleague, a partner that, you know, that we run events with, and we curate speakers. And so one of the speakers, you know, is she, her style, she's very bold and vivacious, I suppose. And my partner just, you know, interpreted it as like, it just, let's just call it a negative, like in a negative, she didn't really like the way her presentation style, because that's not the brand. If you want to label it as a brand, because these are people, the audience are people that, you know, are part of her tribe, my tribe. So, you know, but there, you know, it's just not, you know, it's really in that situation. It's like, well, I just explained to her, you know, like she's interpreting that particular person in a negative way based upon her being bold and, you know, loud. And I just interpret that that's just a certain personality style. And, you know, that's how she expresses herself. And I don't, and I didn't attach any type of judgment to it. However, this other person did. And so I would just explain to her, you know, yeah, she's, you know, just basically using their words too back at them sometimes. Like being a very good listener helps you in being an effective communicator, and reusing the words they use back to them, they will start to listen to you more because you're having that rapport with them. Those are their words. So they will, you know, listen to you more to absorb the message that you're trying to speak. And try to entering their model of the world is by asking questions, listening to how they're describing their grievance or the way they're viewing the situation. So I would say, yeah, she's pretty bold and she's, you know, very loud. And so that's how she expresses herself. And so how, you know, how would you view that as a problem? You know, and trying just to get them to fully articulate how that actually is a problem, just by asking key questions to have them dive deep, because obviously most of the time there's just an association to that particular personality style that's not really, it's just maybe somebody that in their past that they have encountered that it was not a good relationship or something, you know, and it's just a trigger. And now the programming in your mind or anybody's, you know, someone's mind, if they're not cognizant of it, they're going to just by default label them as, you know, a negative attachment to it, right? Because of that past programming with that particular person from your past that had that personality style. So trying to get them to realize that in a very gentle manner, just by asking questions that kind of forces them to dive deep and explore that further.
Awesome. So it sounds like just kind of taking steps to understand someone else's perspective who might, you might not share the same perspective, but if you can at least take measures to understand their perspective, you might be able to kind of be more successful in communicating with that person.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just trying to be neutral as possible and don't attach any judgment to it. Because at the end of the day, you know, everything's an association based on our personal past histories. So just being cognizant of that helps you be neutral.
Awesome. What are some of the other steps that you feel like have been, you know, helpful just in your own kind of personal growth journey, whether that be different healing modalities or did you ever kind of go like get coaching, life coaching, or what else do you feel like kind of has helped you get to where you are today?
Mm-hmm. What has helped me to get to where I am today? I've had various coaches, but you know, because I was really my own coach to kind of get me to rebuild my mind. And I was doing practices I naturally, like, I was so motivated to get better. When I started visualizing myself, like, I would use visualization techniques to get me through university. Like, you know, if it was a challenge for me to study or write an essay, I'd visualize myself writing the essay, you know, being on my computer, typing it out, you know, studying. And that would just propel me to do the activity. And I don't even, at the time, like, I just kind of like developed that on my own. When I was in university, I wasn't, you know, well-versed in personal development. Like, I didn't even know who Tony Robbins was, actually. Actually, after I graduated university, my first job, I was a business instructor for a private college. And then that forced me, I ended up getting introduced to Tony Robbins' material by accident, because I wanted to motivate my students to study and perform well in their class. So I noticed that there was a cultural deficit amongst my students, and they were never, most of them were from a low socioeconomic class, and they had these horrible, like, they had really negative attitudes. And it was very difficult, you know, so I figured, okay, how am I going to motivate? Because my job was to motivate them, you know, in order to, like, their marks were, you know, a result of my performance. Like, that's how I got, you know, critiqued in my job, you know, at the end of the school year. They would pull up my student reports. So I was like, okay, so it forced me, motivated me, like, what can I do to motivate my students to start studying more, to pull up their marks? So I started incorporating personal development into my classes. I went to the library and I started, at that time, there was video, like there's like video, like videotapes and VCRs. And I would like rent personal development. I would go into the personal development section. And that's actually my first time, my first journey going into personal development. My first introduction was after, you know, recovering from my brain injury. So so healing for me, visualization. I am a big advocate of meditations, journaling, you know, helping processing my emotions, you know, for the day, like helping. I do a lot of self-reflecting too. Like, if I am any type of behavior that comes up for me that, in, you know, hinders my productivity in relation to any type of project or anything like that, I stop and I'm like, okay, what is that about? You know what I mean? What kind of fear or limiting belief do I have around that? And I check myself. I'm always checking myself. You know, being grateful for what I have. Like, I'm always, always cognizant, grateful for everything. You know, always, that's my daily routine. And I incorporate my affirmations with my self-care rituals. Like, you know, when I put on a clay mask, which are very healing, and it's, when you put it on a clay mask on, it's 100% natural, so it's why they're healing, and it's very soothing and relaxing. I put them on, I do my affirmations. One of my favorite affirmations I do is, every day I'm getting better and better in every way. Those are a few of my, you know, practices that I do to, you know, make sure that I'm, you know, taking care of my mental health, being productive, and just checking in with myself, just to make sure, you know, because every day I would say we do have to reset ourselves. Once we go out into society, you know, as you probably know, you know, our unconscious mind, literally, like, we have like mirror neurons, like, we, you know, we mimic things, whether we're aware of it or not, you know, like, you know, a study has been done where if you go into a restaurant, you have a meal with a friend and the restaurant, you know, is packed, and they're, you know, you're having a conversation with a friend and you're totally like consciously just aware of that conversation with you and a friend. However, go to a hypnotist after that and have them regress you, and unconsciously, you'll know every single conversation in that room. So, you know, so if we're recording everything around us unconsciously, then, you know, we kind of, I mean, that's how I check myself, because I might be picking up something that might be slipping into my unconscious programming that might be playing out unconsciously for me. So I've noticed that actually with the pandemic. So certain limiting beliefs, because there are a lot of fear when the pandemic hit, you know, was amplified like 100%, I would say for everybody. And that started like seeping into my programming in other forms, like in managing my business and, you know what I mean? Making investment decisions, right? Stuff like that. So, yeah.
Rita, what would you say as far as like kind of going forward, just both in your personal life, I guess, along with your business, as far as what you're hoping to like kind of where you see yourself going, whether it be with other kind of healing practices or any like plans to do different things with your business or offer different kind of products or services or anything? Like what do you see kind of going forward?
Yeah. So going forward, I do want to expand more with Happy Being Well. So right now it's predominantly focused. It's pretty much products like leggings, the crystals and candles and oils and organic soaps and organic clay masks. So basically products for your day-to-day self-care, spiritual practices. I want to expand further. The mission with it is I want to obviously, because right now it's really catered to people who know about these practices, right? Who are actually just, people can just buy crystals because they already know the benefits of them and stuff like that. Like they're already propelled to practice, you know, certain practices to amplify their life, to amplify, you know, joy and happiness and eliminate stress and anxiety. Having more education around Happy Being Well. So in the future, perhaps having a directory where people can tap into working with a yoga instructor in their local area. You know, a lot of yoga instructors these days do in-home visits, you know, like you don't have to go to a yoga studio or a meditation instructor or a life coach or a spiritual practitioner. And having more, there's gonna be more video training, more video tutorials on how to use the products to incorporate into your day-to-day life. And, you know, in terms of like a lot of people like me know how to use crystals or what the crystals are for and how do you incorporate crystals into your meditation sessions and why would you? And, and yoga, like, you know, some yoga training videos will be up there as well. And in the future, I do want to have like, you know, once hopefully this, you know, once the pandemic is over, like where we must go back to 100% open capacity, having, you know, big events and where I'm matching the audience with more speakers that are, can speak to, you know, living a mindful way, mindful practices, how to reframe their thinking. So I would say, yeah, in the future, moving forward, the educational component, it will definitely be expanding.
Awesome. Well, it was great having you on the show today, Rita. If people want to find out more about your company or get in contact with you, where would you direct them to?
Yeah, so they can go to happybeingwell.com. There's an email newsletter on there. And they can go on Instagram at happybeingwell and Facebook at happybeingwell. So those are the two mediums that they can contact me on.
Great. And for those of you who did enjoy the show, go ahead and like and subscribe to our YouTube channel where Ross Goes Wetsuit. You can also find audio versions of the podcast available on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and just about anywhere else that audio podcasts are available. Also, if you did enjoy the show, I'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That would be greatly appreciated. Rita, again, I wanted to really thank you for sharing all of your knowledge and expertise with us today. And thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed being on your show.